Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
When Thompson went out, we fought back and ended up taking the lead, but you know, we just hurt ourselves. We beat ourselves at the end, which is the frustrating part. It's the part that we're trying to get away from, and we've been good with it, but we're not there yet.
No, and the result said so. 7-5, a loss to Montreal, which has been all too familiar for Buffalo against the Habs at home in recent years. And Marty, welcome into a new week of Sabres Live where we could talk penalties, special teams, goaltending, defending, not enough shots, all of the above. What is most concerning? Injuries. I mean, I honestly was going to text you this morning and say, you take it. I want you to start the show.
You know what? My first thought is, yeah, I get the Tage Thompson injury happened. And Lindy Ruff mentioned, I had to, basically it affected all the lines, right? Because they elevated Cousins to the Thompson line. And then, okay, somebody's got to play in middle of Benson and Quinn. And then it changes everything. And it's
Hey, what? Did I lose you?
Here? I'm going to come back. Okay, now you. I'm back. I hit the button again. I get too excited. It's Tuesday. It's like Monday. I speak with my hands and this is what happened. So it affected everything. Here's the problem for me is that it was not just a Montreal Canadiens problem. The problem started a few games back and Tage Thompson was healthy and everything was good when all of a sudden the scoring chances, the shot attempts, everything dropped. I feel like the Sabres had over 70 shot attempts against the Islanders in a loss. They had over 70 shot attempts against the Red Wings in a loss. Then they played a really good game, I thought, against the Ottawa Senators, which was the start of a three-game winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
But the Rangers game, despite the fact that they scored six, was, I felt, a gift by Shesterkin, who didn't play well. The Rangers didn't play well. The Sabres didn't create much that game. They only created like an expected goals of two. They scored six. And then after that, it kept dropping. The shot attempts kept dropping, so much so that in the game against the Flames, they had, well, against the Rangers, they had 39 shot attempts against the Flame 50, yesterday 45. Like, there's been a consistent drop in the offense, which was hidden because the Sabres kept scoring. And they still scored five yesterday.
Right.
That goaltending allowed the Sabres to score five, not because they created a ton offensively. So that to me is like you got whacked in the head against Montreal, and now it makes you dig a little deeper in the last few games to realize, oh, that's not just a Tage Thompson left issue. It's there needs to be more shot attempts, more volume, more creation, which wasn't there yesterday, wasn't there the last few games.
Right. And why is the question. Like, what are you seeing? Why? Like, there were moments where I was going to ask you if this is part of the plan in the sense of we want to be a possession team. We want to control the offensive zone, wear teams out, not take shots needlessly, you know, yada, yada, yada. If that was the plan, then it went too far because you have to, you're not going to, it's unlikely you're going to keep scoring at the shooting percentage you're scoring at with so few shot attempts, right? So I don't know. Did you see like some noticeable change? Did you see a drop off from certain lines where they were the ones that were not, you know, kind of rounding up these numbers the way we had seen before?
I feel like the odd man rushes yesterday were one big glaring thing that we didn't see in the game. Look, against, you know, most opponents this year, the Sabres have 8, 9, 10 on-man rush. And that doesn't just include 2-on-1s or whatever. That includes 3-on-2s. That includes, like, let's join the rush. The defense joins the rush, right?
Mm-hmm.
For a fourth-man attack. And I believe when I looked at the number this morning, which I have right in front of me right now, is that the Sabres only had 2 on-man rushes in the whole game against Montreal. No, what we saw against Calgary is the Calgary Flames kind of stacked up the middle. They played the trap in the neutral zone, but the Sabres still were able to get through the Flames with some significant speed. And maybe against the Flames, the problem was not so much the rush chances where, okay, can you make sure that you spend a ton of time in the offensive zone, which they started against the Canadians. In the first 10 minutes, they were in the Canadian zone. They were creating, again, the Tage Thompson shift right at the top, their first shift in the Canadian zone for 40 seconds. Mm-hmm. But that went away, and the rush chances were not there to complement or to support more offense. So that is a big thing.
Didn't it feel like the Flames won the last two periods prior to overtime?
Yeah. I think the Sabres got up to 2-0, and then after that, the Flames took over in the second, took over in the third, you know, had the power play in overtime. Like, the Sabres win in a shootout against the Flames. Great. That's three wins in a row. Those are points that maybe you weren't getting last year or the year before. Even one point, right?
And so you had to get one yesterday with the number of leads.
You had to get one yesterday, 100%, because you had that, you know, 2-1, a 3-2 lead. You had the 5-4 lead. You let the Montreal Canadiens come back in the picture. So, but no, I feel like it was hard to evaluate the lines as a whole yesterday.
Yeah.
But now, like I'm pretty confident that if Tage Thompson is to miss a little bit of time, and we don't know, Sabres have off today. Lindy Ruff said, you know, they still have to get doctors and all of that and more tests done or whatever on both him and Samuelson. But I'm pretty confident that the way the Sabres had been playing and the way that Cousins, Quinn, and Benson line had been starting to get Benson 100%, it started to get a little bit more zone time and confidence in their game, that instead of affecting all your lines, all you have to do is really elevate Peyton Krebs to where Thompson was and insert Obi Kubel, and then you keep your lineup the same and you say, this is what we have to do here. Instead of in game, it's a lot harder. Everything gets affected. You don't have a guy you can call in from the press box and say, hey, come get dressed to fill in the Thompson spot. But I think moving forward, I think it's pretty clear what I think the Sabres should do, and I don't think it should affect them. They have the players to be able to continue or at least restart playing the way that they were before the last couple of games here.
You're saying Krebs goes to number one center?
Yeah, I'm saying Cousins, Quinn, and Benson stay together. McLeod, Greenway, Zucker stay together. You move.
Did I miss something yesterday just in the chaos? Is that what you saw? Sorry, I'm dumbfounded here. This is not the
No, this is not what I saw yesterday, because yesterday there wasn't. The only way you could have done that yesterday would have been, okay, let's elevate Krebs and keep line two, line three together, and we're not going to play Malenstein and Lafferty a ton, right? But I think because it was so early in the second period, Lindy Ruff wanted to keep everybody engaged, so he kept rolling through the middle, and the lines kept, you know, you had Cousins play a shift with Tuck and Peterka, and then you had Krebs playing with Quinn and Benson, and then you had things moved around a little bit. But I feel that because they were up 5-4 early in the third, then it's like, okay, let's keep everything going the right, the same way. And then at the end of the day, you realize, well, you know what? Like, that really scrambled our lines and it didn't give us the result we wanted.
I guess I haven't given it enough thought. I would assume Cousins is going to take Thompson's spot if Tage is out for any length of time.
It could be.
And I would also assume that they might consider calling up Jiří again. But I don't know.
Again, like, these are all, obviously, we don't know where.
Bottom line is, Tage is the best player on the team by far offensively, and I'm not sure how they are going to recover without him.
He's by far their best player. You're 100%. Even some of the plays that he made while still in the game yesterday, the goal against Cole Caulfield is great, but he had a couple of other really good shot attempts coming into the slot. Like, he's dominating game. When I look at Tage Thompson, he's taking over games. He's grinding down low. He's doing all of that. I get it's going to be hard. The reason the Sabres lost against Montreal was not the loss of Tage Thompson. The reason the Sabres lost against Montreal was not the loss of Matias Samuelsson, right? The reason they lost because too many penalties, and now this has been something that's Lindy Ruff has commented a few times, you know, taking too many penalties and it stops their flow. I felt like they were under control. And then the second period was a penalty kind of parade. And then in the third period, they kept taking penalties. It just, if there was a message was let's stay out of the box. And I know I've heard that message from Lindy Ruff a lot. It did not, like the players did not get the message. They did not stay out of the box. And to me, that's the biggest thing. Like, if you keep taking penalties that way, doesn't matter if Tage Thompson's on the ice, you're not going to be able to overcome that most games because you're putting yourself in a really bad place.
Tell me what you think is going through Dahlin's mind right now, because obviously he had to discuss his penalty in the third period. The coach said he was running hot, shouldn't have taken this penalty, obviously. It's the second time on home ice in close games this year where he's had this unfortunate turn of events, and that's putting it mildly, I would say. But Dahlin has always been wearing a lot on his shoulders, but now it's more. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, like, do you have instances, examples of teammates that maybe used to find themselves in those positions and then all of a sudden it clicks and then, you know, because answering after the fact and saying, yeah, I take responsibility doesn't really do much, right? He has to say it, obviously, but it doesn't do anything because it shouldn't have happened to begin with. He knows it shouldn't have happened. But I'm just wondering, like, there are all kinds of players that walk a line. And, like, and you have to. And I've loved that about Dahlin since he came into the league. So I'm just curious, like, at what point you think it clicks for him to not be on this side of it. Because, unfortunately, the reality is they can't afford to have him on that side of it anymore based on the numbers on the penalty kill and everything you just said that the team is preaching. We can't keep putting ourselves in this situation.
I feel like that penalty to Dahlin is probably the glaring example of we can't take penalties. We can't take penalties, right? But it was before that the penalties were happening. And that is maybe the, you know, the poster Dahlin, like that penalty. And I accept his explanation of the penalty itself, thinking, I thought this guy was coming to hit me. I'm protecting myself to be able to get a hit. And then I kind of braced myself to lean into. And then he went too far. He went too far because as soon as he saw Evans going around him, he said, well, I'm going to get a piece of him. And he catches him in the head with the elbow. So, but I understand and I can see the thought of, puck's coming around the wall, and it goes really quick in your head. Like, I'm going to slow it down here, but the puck's coming around the wall. I'm on my back end. I see 71 come in to hit me. I'm going to let the puck go and because I've got a player there, and I'm going to stiffen up, and I'm going to protect myself, and it went the wrong way. But I'm not, and I get, you can't have that happen. You have to be disciplined. You have to be smarter, especially in those situations. You're up by a goal, right? You cannot let that happen. But I like a Rasmus Dahlin that plays a little bit more on the edge, and I'll take the occasional penalty. The problem is you already given up 4 goals at that point.
Five.
Problem is, was that the game-winning goal, Coffey?
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
The game was tied at 5.
The problem is you've given up 5 goals at that point. You've already given up a power play goal to Cole Caulfield at that point. Mm-hmm. You, like, to me, that game should have never been 5-5 at that moment. It just shouldn't have been. So do I think it's a bad penalty? Yeah, it's a bad penalty. Is that the deciding factor? Well, it's the game-winning goal. So, yeah, it has a lot of weight in it. But it shouldn't have been there. It shouldn't have gone to that.
But back to my original question, do you see guys get it at some point, though?
What is there to get? Like, I don't think Dahlin is a guy that takes, like, these these stupid penalties, these really badly undisciplined penalties. Does he take penalties? Yes. Is he always going to be that type of player? Probably. And am I fine with it? I'm fine with it. I don't think that that penalty yesterday is the reason they lost the game. The game was lost and had been slipping away way before that. And to me, like, I want the Dahlin that plays on the edge. Look, I'm not going to compare him to, you know, a Chris Pronger or whatever, but Chris Pronger used to take some dumb penalties. Chris Pronger kicked people with his skate. But I would have taken a Chris Pronger on my team because of what he was doing and how much on the edge he played. I'm going to take Dahlin playing on the edge. And if that means a penalty at some point that I'm like, it's not a good penalty, I'll take it.
So what is the most concerning takeaway from yesterday?
Well, I mean, the lack of, again, you give up 7 goals, an empty net. You give up 6 goals. They did that against Pittsburgh. They did that against Columbus. And in both of those games, they created some offense, but from a, I don't want to call it a disregard for all you have to play defensively, but I felt like the Sabres defensively were chasing, were running around. The penalty kill wasn't good, where it was excellent against Calgary, especially in the 4-on-3. Like that, to me, it comes down to, again, did you defend? Did you really defend as hard as you could to make sure that you didn't give Montreal anything? And the answer was no. The answer is no. Like, not strong enough around the front of the net. Lindy Ruff mentioned it. Not strong enough on the wall. Lindy Ruff mentioned it. And that was the same thing when they played the Pittsburgh Penguins and lost 6-5 in OT. That was the same thing when they played Columbus. And that was really a reset, an early reset in the season when those two games happened. Now that game has to be, oh, guys, we're going to press the reset button again because we did not play strong enough in aspect of the game that we absolutely cannot let slip. Like the non-negotiable that Lindy Ruff's talked about, like being tough in front of your net and being strong on the wall, those are non-negotiables. And they weren't there against the Montreal Canadiens. And look, that's a reset. Okay, you lost one. You had won 3 in a row. Would have been great to be gone 4-game winning streak and going into St. Louis and Philly, and maybe you take that 4-game to 6. Absolutely. You took a step back. Okay, whoop-de-doo. Win Thursday, win on the weekend before you go out west, and all of a sudden Montreal is a, you know, small little, you know, step back. But it's a glass half full situation here, because that means you win against St. Louis and you beat the Flyers. If all of a sudden you go win 3, lose 3, win 3, and then lose 3 again, now I'm concerned. I'm concerned because the reset button is not happening fast enough when things are slipping.
Well, I don't need to say it, but I'm never not concerned, and I think people know that. So, and again, going back to yours and producer Jeff's nonsense of looking ahead and counting games before Thanksgiving last week, like, this is exactly why you don't do that. And if anybody wants to get ahead and look at San Jose, they're 5-2-1 in the last 8. So don't be marking that one off as well. Like, I think that's going to be a really hard game for them at the end of the trip next week. So, I just, there were so many things that just didn't go, that weren't executed the right. Were you surprised at all? And I guess this one's not even, like, you and I wouldn't have been surprised because we heard it in Lindy's voice after the Calgary game. But if the coach hadn't said or hinted anything, were you surprised that the lineup changed yesterday on a 3-game win streak?
Duffy, you know I was surprised. You know I was surprised.
I literally didn't ask you yesterday, so yeah. I'm genuinely asking you now. I don't know.
Yeah, I was surprised. And I know Lindy made the comments after the Calgary game. And again, I think that Montreal's coming in. You know, Montreal's lost 6 in a row, 0-5-1. Maybe that's the time if we have to make a lineup change and reinsert somebody in. Let's take that game, right? That's the optics from the outside. Do I know that's how the coaching staff thought about it? No, I think Lindy Ruff had some, after the Sunday game, it could have been anybody. It could have been the Washington Capitals. It could have been the Edmonton Oilers. I think he was going to reinsert Samuelson because of the comments he made after Saturday's game against the Calgary Flames. Mm-hmm. But I was still very surprised because I look at the group of defensemen. And at the end of the night, look, Samuelson gets hurt in the second period, so they went down to five. But one of the things that was really important to me in the three-game win streak was there was emotions, there was intensity, there was physicality. We talked about it. And I think one of the guys that within his limits, within his limited ice time too, was a guy like Gilbert who brought some physicality. And yes, he took some penalties, but I feel like at the end of the day, that physicality was a big part of their success. So I was surprised that that's how the lineup was changed. Do I understand that? Yeah, you cannot just say, oh, we won three games in a row and you know, we're never going to make changes until we lose a game. That's not pro sports. Pro sports are not about just, you know, waiting for a loss to make changes. You're always trying to get better every day. And I think Lindy Ruff and his staff saw, okay, there has been a slippage. We talked about the slippage the last couple of games. There has been a little bit of a slippage against Calgary, especially in the last 40 minutes. Let's reset that and let's insert Samuelson here because we want to continue to win games. We want to continue to be better. It didn't work. I get it. But I was very surprised that that's the route that they took and that Samuelson was the one inserted. I'm like, okay, maybe you make some changes. Maybe it's Jokiaru that's coming back. Mm-hmm. He was playing on a, you know, top pair, top two pairs when he was in the lineup. Maybe that's the guy coming back. So I was surprised of the change, but I was also surprised of who came in, who came out in that change.
So what do you think's next? Which is probably hard to answer, not knowing Samuelson, but I'm more interested in Joki Haru's situation as well.
Yeah, because now if Samuelson's not playing, your two options are Gilbert or Joki Haru. Mm-hmm. Well,
But aren't there more options after the last game? Like Bryson and Power struggled, obviously.
Yeah, but I would say, look, that was a struggle. Bryson Power had, you know, the Josh Anderson breakaway, even though I still think that if McLeod and Zucker are going to be back to back them up, which has been very strong for the Sabres, they need to be able to defend Anderson. And that's now all of a sudden you give up the first goal. What had been so good for the Sabres of late? Scoring the first goal, building that lead, right? Going up 2-0. Didn't happen against Montreal. They lose the game.
They were up 5-4 in the third. The first goal meant nothing.
Yeah, I get that. But I'm just saying, like, okay, I get that Bryson and Power were on that play. They
I'm not focusing on that play at all. Like, there was a dash four next to Power. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you love the stat or hate the stat.
And two goals were power play goals out of the seven. So there's really five other goals, right? And I don't know. I think Bryson's played well when inserted. I think Power's been good this year. Yesterday's game, okay, put it aside. But I do believe that, you know, you have to think, okay, so if you reinserted Samuelson in, at some point you're going to want to reinsert Joki Haru back in as well. Maybe that's the door that opens up. And unfortunately, it comes to, okay, well, you know, the guy that's left off is Gilbert, which I thought played a significant role in those three wins for the Sabres. And you know, not because it's what the fans want and they want more physicality and a guy like Gilbert, but I thought that he had an impact, a positive impact whenever he was on the ice, despite some penalties. I still think there was a positive impact there.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
There's too many questions from yesterday. I'm struggling.
There's a lot of questions, not from yesterday.
There's either too many or like none at all. Like just chuck
okay,
it.
Okay, I'll ask a question and this may
be... It's about time. I've been begging for you to do this.
Yeah, I know. Like, and I know Levi comes in and plays just the third period. You know, but that question's still there now. Like, okay, where is goaltending going? Where is Lucan and Levi? Where is that tandem going? Because a lot of people would have thought Levi was going to get yesterday's game against Montreal, right? And, you know, I got so many texts yesterday morning. Marty, is Levi playing? From Montreal media. because he's the Montreal guy. And I'm like, I don't know. We'll see when we get to the rink or whatever. Like, because I really didn't know. I thought, well, I don't think Lindy's going to change his lineup, but he did make the change on defense. So if he made the change on defense, could have made the change in net as well. But are they in a place where they're really confident with Devon Levi now? And he went into the third period, and look, am I going to blame him for those two goals? No, but it's still the NHL. You go into a game, you get four shots, you'd hope to make four saves. And Samuel Montembeau got four shots and he made four saves, right? That's, at the end of the day, I'm asking the question, where's goaltending going now? Lukanen's been really good, but there's another aspect to it. And that one, the Sabres have got to think about it.
Did you have any wins of four saves or fewer?
I had a win with one save, I believe. I came in. That's my first big break in the NHL. We're talking about 99-2000. I get called up, right? Mm-hmm. And I play against Carolina. We win 8-4 or 8-5. Then Dom played the next game, played really well. And then we're playing Florida at home. And I guarantee you, after that game, I was going to have the pink slip in my locker. Marty, you're going back to Rochester. And Dom got hurt on the game go-ahead goal. It was a 1-1 game. He gives up a goal with a minute and a half left and make it 2-1 Florida. And he gets hurt. He has to come off the ice. He missed 2 months that year, right? So comes off the ice. I go in. Lindy goes, Marty, as soon as we dump the puck in, you're coming out. I came out. We scored with 30 seconds left to tie it at 2. I made a save late in the third, and we scored on the first shift in OT. So I played like a minute. I had one save, and I got a win in OT against the Florida Panthers that year.
Amazing. Hey, what's happening on X that we need to know about here to remind people of the big weekend ahead?
Well, Pete Guelli, our big boss, is basically putting a tweet out there. So if you repost his tweet, you have a chance to win tickets to the Sabres game on Thursday night against the Blues. Sebastian Maniscalco is a comedian. He's at the arena, I believe, on Saturday. And Bills versus Chiefs on Sunday. So all you got to do is go repost Pete's tweet, and you have a chance to win. So go check it, Pete Guelli on X, and repost all of this. And he calls it the best weekend ever. Well, yeah, I think it could be. We want results. We want a couple of wins and a good stand-up comedian show.
And Marty had Hall of Fame ties this weekend. We'll revisit that when we come back on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres gearing up for the Blues on Thursday. Well, eventually. They're not practicing today. They're off, and they will resume practice tomorrow, and we will likely get injury updates then. On Tage Thompson and Matias Samuelson. Yeah. Out-of-town scoreboard check, Marty. It's 4-4, Bridgeport and Hershey right now, third period. They've got a little early morning affair in the
AHL. This is a matinee when you start before noon. So
no,
that's
it's actually not. You know, I was gonna bug you about this because I looked into the definition. So I don't know why they teach it differently French than English, but it is something that a matinee is something that happens during the course of the day, predominantly in the afternoon. So that's what the definition is.
The only reason I laugh about it is because matinee comes from the French word matinée, which means morning, which means, mm-hmm. you know, so that's what I'm saying. That's why I said I always laugh when the English people said it's a matinee at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That doesn't work.
The reason I also, you know, quickly, segued to the AHL there. Obviously, the Amherst had a win on Friday night, but they lost Felix Sandstrom in the process. And Hauser came in, they won the game, they got torched the next game, unfortunately, by a very hot Wilkes-Barre team. And Matt Vernon was actually backing up Hauser. Matt has been playing in Jacksonville of the ECHL. He's Mike Vernon's son, the Hall of Famer. Vernon's in the Hall of Fame, right?
Yes,
he's in the Hall of Fame.
He got in the Hall of Fame a couple years back. And, when all the goalies went in.
Yeah, so, you know, this is, it's concerning. They don't have a lot of depth right now. And you were, you know, people are obviously looking at the very, very, very small Levi sample size right now, right? And so if he continues to get less and less minutes, which is the norm based on Luukkonen being the second busiest netminder in this calendar year of 2024 to Andrei Vasilevsky, you're going to keep hearing people say, well, Levi should be getting more games in Rochester, right? Okay,
yep.
Fine. If you are adamant about that and you think that, well, then the Sabres need another goalie. And right now, Rochester doesn't even have depth in goal because of this, you know, of the Sandstrom injury, which I don't have an update on as far as length of time that he could miss, right? And then you could extend all of this by stretching it all the way out to the West Coast and say, well, the Ducks have no use for James Reimer anymore because John Gibson.
That's where I was going to go. It's the original plan. The original plan of bringing in James Reimer.
Right.
Now they got Gibson back. They have Lukas Dostal. They do have three goalies on their roster in Anaheim, but at some point, they may put Reimer back on waivers, right? That's the way it is.
Yes, but I mean, imagine a scenario like Pittsburgh. Tough start to the year with Jari. He accepts a conditioning stint.
Yes.
The stint goes pretty well, save for the last game.
Yeah.
So he's called up. They've got three on the roster. And then he sits there and watches two guys fumble away through the worst first period in Penguins history yesterday, giving up six to Dallas. Yeah. So, like, it's wild. Like, Anaheim's actually sitting there going, oh, Dostal's really shown everything we wanted, and Gibson came back and performed really well. So that's a luxury. And then the Penguins are sitting there going, we got three goalies, and like, it doesn't really feel like super good right now. And Luukkonen was and is, like, I'm not making a story out of anything here. Like, whatever. He had a game that wasn't great. He's been good enough for long enough that I never even think twice about Luukkonen, period. Like, it is what it is.
3-2 with a minute left. It was 3-2 with a minute left in the second period. It was fine. The Sabres fumbled that away in the last minute of the second period, and he didn't give up a good goal in the fourth goal, right? The Suzuki second goal in 22 seconds. Not a good goal, but look, so Pittsburgh could keep Jari and Nedeljkovic and send Blomqvist back to Wilkes-Barre. He doesn't have to be on waivers. He'd be fine. He can go down, no problem. Not that he'd get picked up anyway if he was not having to clear. So Anaheim is the situation here I'm keeping my eyes on because, yeah, at some point you have to think that if the Sabres were thinking, okay, what makes sense now? Is Levi playing in Rochester making sense now? But we need somebody in Buffalo in Sandstrom is hurt. Not that I think Sandstrom would be the answer, but if you need somebody to just sit on the bench while Levi plays, you could do that. But if you felt like you needed something, well, then you call Anaheim. Hey, what's your situation with your three goalies? You got Reimer off waivers. Are you putting him on waivers? We'll take him back. Anaheim doesn't want Reimer in the minors because it takes away from somebody playing with their farm team. And Buffalo original plan was Reimer was going to be that support guy if they needed him. I think it would make sense if eventually this came to a conclusion where a player like James Reimer would be put on waivers or found its way back to Buffalo. If the Sabres want to say, okay, we need to kind of explore the Luukkonen's going to play. We need maybe Reimer as a backup and Levi playing Rochester. This is not what we thought was going to be like in game one of the regular season, but that's where we are now in game 15 of the regular season or 16 of the regular season. That's what it is.
There's a little bit of irony in the teams that we're talking about here, though. Pittsburgh having the challenges they're having. Mm-hmm. Gibson historically linked to Pittsburgh. And really, the Ducks, I think, might actually want to keep Reimer behind Dostal and try to move Gibson in this moment of good health and higher value.
I think that makes sense as well, but
I'm not saying it's going to end up going to Pittsburgh. It's just those are the things you're going to constantly hear because we can never seemingly run far enough away from that.
No, and really, because John Gibson has been rumored to be on the move for quite a few years now with the Anaheim Ducks. I think more of that is media-driven than it was actually Anaheim-driven. But now that Lucas Dostal is playing so well for them, now all of a sudden the Anaheim Ducks are like, oh, now let's join the bandwagon that we can move a player like John Gibson, who has two more years at $6.4 million. That is going to be the hard part. But Anaheim could, at this point, retain and facilitate a transaction if they want to. And then, as you said, they maybe would have Dostal and Reimer. But if Gibson gets traded, that's where the dominoes would fall. If he gets traded to Pittsburgh, right? Like, well, Anaheim doesn't want one of Pittsburgh's goalies to come back. They'd be happy with Dostal and Reimer. So now, is Nedeljkovic being put on waivers or look to move a Jari or Nedeljkovic? Jari's going to be hard to move. He has the new contract and everything. The Sabres would be wise to start the phone calls. Listen, hey, what's going on here? And kind of see what goalie movement we could see here in the next couple of weeks before, you know, Thanksgiving. Because I think there is going to be a little movement there.
Kaapo Kähkönen is on waivers again right now. Kochetkov, by the way, who you, I feel like you don't love Kochetkov, but I just wanted to tell people that he's 8-1 on the year with a 2.45 and a 9.02. So for Carolina, who remain pretty darn hot.
I like Kochetkov. I think that there has been a little inconsistencies in his games. He's still pretty...
I'll take 8-1 inconsistent every day of the week.
Carolina is a really good team.
Yes, they are. And it's a hard team to post a great save percentage with because of how they play the game.
They play really good defensively, but they lose, you know, two on the back end and they just keep that team structure going. But I like Kochetkov. Now, you talk Kaapo Kähkönen's on waivers. I don't think he's getting claimed.
No.
But that's those are the type of goalies that in a pinch, you could say, hey, we need a backup, right? We need, like, the Sabres in a pinch could say, let's get him, you know, through waivers, back up Luukkonen, and then Levi can play in Rochester, and then we'll put him back on waivers, and maybe, you know, we're stuck with. But those are the type of goalies in a pinch you can always look for.
Vegas has stumbled in the crease the last couple of games, losing 4-3 and 5-2. They'll be fine, obviously. They always are. But they are dealing with a Mark Stone injury, which they kind of – they're deeming it day-to-day right now. But it's, you know, always concerning.
What's
when
the
Mark
clown
is,
music? What's the circus no, music
I'm
coming
not,
on
I don't
with Vegas?
Make, no, I mean, this is –
Not you know. With Stone. Not, I'm not saying Stone is a legitimate hard – player. He goes hard 100 miles an hour
start to the
every
year.
Time.
It's, yeah. I mean,
and he's been banged up and he's had injuries and I get it. But every time you hear Vegas with one of their top players being sidelined and then you think, oh, well, they put that player on long-term IR so they can save that money. And then it's like the circus music comes playing in the background because that's what Vegas has been doing now multiple times over the last few years.
Absolutely. I don't know. I was surprised that I was watching hockey last night.
Yeah.
But Colorado-Nashville was unbelievable. It was such a good game. And in incredibly, this is what keeps happening this year, Predators fashion. They have chances to win.
Oh.
And big money man, new guy, Brady Shea gets pocket picked, falls down, breakaway, Sam Girard, overtime winner, right? Yeah. And it's just kind of how it's gone. They're okay over the last 10. They're 5-4-1, which is better than the awful 0-5 start. But
yeah.
Saros was great. Georgiev was great. It was an awesome, awesome hockey game last night.
There's the concern with Nashville is Saros was great and they lose 4-3 again. Like Saros has had
3-2,
to be great.
I think, last night.
Was it 3-2?
Was it 3-2?
It may have been 3-2. You're right.
Yes.
Because they but Georgiev has been better. Which is good. He made
last three games.
He made a really nice glove save, standing up glove save in overtime. Just whoop, like easy looking from the slot. But Saros has had to be fantastic now for the last couple of weeks, 3 weeks, and they are only 5-4-1 in those 10 games, mm-hmm. where he's been fantastic. When you look at the numbers around the National Hockey League, UC Saros is, I'm going to pull it up here, he's top 10 in goal save above expectation. He's alongside the Anthony Stolars and the Connor Hellebuck and the Igor Shesterkin, and his team just plays 5-5 in the last 10, and he has to be a top 10 goalie in the world to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. And they moved off of Dante Fabbro. The Predators did. He was claimed on waivers by Columbus over the weekend. So yeah. Will they utilize that money elsewhere to go get a different defenseman? We shall see. What were the analytics on your Hall of Fame weekend performance?
The analytics, and it was a warm-up for tomorrow night's alumni, Sabres alumni game against Shorzy. So I got to play in the Legends game. I'm a legend, by the way, Duffer. In Toronto on Sunday night. And here's how this all played out. We won the game 7-4, and then we went to a shootout, ended up winning like the game 9-7 overall. The less I tried, the better I got. Like in the start of the game, I really tried to move and I was moving all over the place. And man, was I off balance and falling all over the place. And then the less I tried, the better it got. Now, Jeremy Roenick got a couple of goals. He scored one on the shootout. I let Eric Lindros score. The Big E was running around like a crazy man in the second period. He was competitive. And even our bench, I had like Adrian O'Quinn and Francois Beauchemin. And I had Shea Weber, and I had a couple of defensemen. They're like, the Big E is running around like crazy right now. Look out, guys. And then when he scored that goal in the shootout, he comes over to me. He goes, how much is that going to cost me? Because he clearly saw I let him score. I was like, I don't want to deal with it. But I did something, Duffer, that you're going to love. In the second period, I look up and there's a 2-on-0. Tony Amonte was coming in with, I don't know who was the second player with him. I just knew he had the puck, 2-on-0 from center ice. I turned around and I knocked the net off. I did the David Leggio in the middle of the game. And then I look over to Bill McCreary. I'm like, the net was off. What was I supposed to do? And then, like, I don't know if people thought it was funny or if it was kind of like rude. But I'm like, just give him a penalty shot. Let's make it fun. And then Jeremy Roenick got the penalty shot, came in and scored, which made it fun. There's a Hall of Famer, you know, going in and scoring a goal and a penalty shot. So better than Tony Amonte and whoever coming in on a 2-on-0. But yeah, so I pulled the fireplace candle or the fireplace candle, and I knocked the net off, broke the water bottle, by the way, when I knocked the net off, like the whole thing exploded behind my net. So I caused a lot of trouble there.
great time though.
Oh, awesome time. Next to me in the locker room was a gentleman named Terry Harper. Mm-hmm. And if you want to go and Google Terry Harper, the guy was born in 1940. He's 83 years old, going to be 84 soon. Won 5 Stanley Cups with the Montreal Canadiens in the 60s. Still plays 3 times a week, right? And obviously doesn't skate all that well. He's 83 years old, but he still was out there kind of going. The story about him is back in the days, there was one penalty bench. And him and Pulford, right? That's who it was. They got into a fight on the penalty bench. And the next year, they created 2 separate penalty bench because they didn't want players fighting on the penalty bench. So that's his claim to fame. Terry Harper, 83-year-old, told stories. It was awesome.
Not sure how we top that, but we'll try when we come back on Sabres Live after this.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Thomas Hertl is 31 years old today. Happy birthday.
Very, very old.
That's all I wanted to know. How does that make you feel?
Somebody asked me the other day, because Celebrini scored on Marc-Andre Fleury and they're 21, almost 22 years apart. He said, how old was Hertl when he scored on you? I'm like, there's only 16 years difference between me and Hertl. So it's not.
How about Michkov's return to the lineup after 2 games being scratched, comes back for Philly, set up, goal, punch to Celebrini's face at the end of regulation time, putting his team down for the full 2 minutes in overtime. They survive it. He gets the shootout deciding goal.
And what a shootout move that was, too. And he had scored, as you mentioned. He had a great chance in overtime. Look, our good friend Kevin Kurse, who writes for the Flyers and, you know, had been saying, look, Michkov has lost a little bit of step. That's why he was set out. He says it's not that bad for him to sit out. Well, he came back with extra steps because he looked good in that game against Celebrini.
Seven games in the NHL tonight. Winnipeg Rangers should be a doozy, huh?
Shesterkin against Hellebuck tonight.
Yeah. We'll look forward to that. Thanks for being with us today. We'll see you again tomorrow on Sabres Live.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.